And that's me, Bill Buckmaster, with you along with my friend John Couch, engineering and producing the show. And together, a big welcome for this Tuesday, May 11th, 2021, to the Buckmaster Show, right here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means anywhere in the world, you can listen to this program, the live stream at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The city of Tucson has an election this year. The ward-only primary election for the city council is scheduled for August the 3rd. The general election takes place November 2nd, when citywide voters will pick the representatives of Ward 3, 5, and 6. The current Ward 3 council member is Karen Ulick, who took over in March to finish the term of Paul Durham. Councilman Durham stepped down for medical reasons, and Karen Ulick previously served as a council member from 2005 to 2017, and she has decided she is not seeking election to the seat. So there are two Democrats in the primary, Kevin Dahl, who we spoke with last week, and Juan Francisco Padres, who we speak with now on the live line. Juan, how are you?
Good. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into this. You ran unsuccessfully for the Board of Supervisors in District 3 last year. Why this race?
Well, first and foremost, it wasn't in the plan to run initially, but given the situation that we had Councilmember Durham step down, and Ward 3 being probably about 90% of it in District 3, in Supervisorial District 3, it made sense. I had already spent quite a bit of time researching the entire district, a lot of it Ward 3, the issues, got to know a lot of the neighborhoods, the different individuals. So a lot of the things that I was campaigning on as this county supervisor were very applicable, in effect, to Ward 3. So the seat opened up, and I thought it was a great way to try to make Tucson a better place. And it is, at the end, my love for Tucson's trying to make this a much better community that motivates me.
Juan, why don't you tell our listeners about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a native of Nogales, Sonora, born and raised. I came to Tucson in 1999 to study at the University of Arizona, where I earned my Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, and afterwards my Master's of Business Administration. I've done a little bit of everything. I have a very diverse background. I've owned several businesses, everything from an insurance agency to a restaurant to a bar. Currently own a small company that imports Mexican craft beer, wine, and spirits, in addition to exporting. I've done logistics, still do consulting on that end. I've worked for J.P. Morgan Chase. I've worked for Wells Fargo. And lastly, I had the opportunity to work for the city of Tucson as an economic development specialist for 6 years. So I'm very well acquainted with the city of Tucson, its staff, the issues, and how things run. And that's, in a nutshell, a little bit about me.
And in business, the business will be the number one priority for you, where when we spoke with Kevin Dahl, it seemed like his big issue is the environment. What is your signature issue?
Well, my signature issue is poverty. And the order to mitigate poverty is to create economic opportunity. I think in the wake of the pandemic, Tucson was hit pretty bad, and we're still seeing some of the effects, and we'll probably continue to see them. But yes, I want to get back Tucson back on its feet, jobs created, investment coming to Tucson. I mean, that is the number one priority for me, is to make Tucson a better place where people can come work and play. Along that lines, I'm very focused on affordable housing, on transportation, and public safety. As your listeners are probably very well aware, we've had somewhat of a crime spree. You know, we have quite a bit of shootings, murder, and it's really affecting the quality of life of Tucson. And so I'm going to focus not only on just on the economic side, but really making Tucson a quality place for all of us to live.
How about this water issue with the city extending Tucson Water? Well, of course, it's already extended into the unincorporated areas like the foothills, but now there will be a new rate chart if the city council has its way, perhaps in 90 days. Where do you come down on that?
You see, I am in support. I'm not in support of a 50% or a 40% or a 30% rate increase, but I think a 5 to 10% rate increase is reasonable, given that there are additional expenses, from what I understand. And if the city has that opportunity and the available tools to be able to compensate for that, I don't see why it's a big problem. What I don't like to see, or would not like to see, is for people who are on fixed income or come from an impoverished community to be affected by this. I don't think that's a good idea, should that be the case. But I think in most cases, a 5 to 10% increase wouldn't make that big of a difference and would help out the city tremendously.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation the issue with crime. We've got to get more cops in the department, and I know it's been a challenge because of the pay structure, but how are we going to do that?
Well, obviously pay is a big thing, but, you know, morality, I think we need to dig a little bit deeper into what is keeping individuals from applying to law enforcement jobs, or why are they leaving? So I think pay is definitely a major focus, and I think our police officers should be paid on par with what Phoenix or other metropolitan areas here in the state of Arizona do. But also we need to really dive into our culture, what are the issues at hand, and how we can keep it's always easier to keep an officer than bring in a new one, and how we can help them grow both professionally and as individuals, as officers. I think that will go a long way. I think we as a community, but in this case, as city council, really needs to understand the dynamics of what is going on, especially in the midst of everything that's going on countrywide, where possibly law enforcement right now is a bad word in many circles. And I think we need to address that. And it is not a dirty word. They are members of our community that serve Tucson.
Where can people find out more about Juan? Where can they find out more about your campaign, Juan Padres?
Sure. I invite everybody to please visit my website at votepadres.com. Again, that's votepadres.com. And I appreciate any financial support on that end. I am running clean, so the city will match my funds from a minimum of $10 contributions and over. And please, if you are willing to volunteer, I would love some support on that end. It takes an army to win an election, and we need to build it up. And I appreciate any support your listeners can contribute.
And again, the primary is coming up. It's ward only, and it will be August 3rd. You'll be facing off against Kevin Dahl. I'm sure you'll be doing some, probably quite a lot, debates with Mr. Dahl as we get closer to that.
Yes, it seems that way, and I'm looking forward to talking about the different ideas on how to really make Tucson a cleaner, safer, better community for all of us.
All right, Juan Padres, thank you very much. Good catching up with you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
All right, that's Juan Padres, Democrat, running in Tucson City Council Ward 3. We'll take a break right here and tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. Find out what all the excitement is about. Things have been going so well up at Mona's Danish Bakery. I was up there on Saturday, and there was a lot of folks coming in and out, and I think, well, they know, they've heard the word, you know. You've got the Danish Kringle, which is a light and tasty, multi-layered pastry. And my favorite after the Kringle would be the Danish coffee cake. So you can't go wrong on either of those counts. Also, I had on Saturday a almond-filled croissant, and it has to be the biggest almond-filled croissant. Steve outdid himself. You could cut it in half and have it for two breakfasts. It was that big, and it was fabulous. So moist and tasty. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and he's given me two thumbs down and shaking the head no. So it's been a very, let's put it this way, a challenging day on Wall Street. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line, we just heard Mr. Padres on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you this Tuesday afternoon?
It's Tuesday. I'm hiding.
Yeah. It is kind of weird how it works. We've had a few down days, and it does seem to be like Tuesdays can be rather challenging on the Wall Street scene.
And we had the same discussion last week.
Yeah.
And at the end of the week, the markets were up and we were at new all-time record highs.
Right.
So what we have today is a little more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
The Dow down about a point, you know, 1.5 percentage mm-hmm. points. The S&P down about 1 percentage point. The problem here is, again, nothing fundamental has changed. But there is some fear of interest rate increases, either promoted by the Fed to keep inflation down, or simply because as the economy heats up, you know, you would expect some prices to increase and interest rates, you know, as money becomes scarcer because more people are using it, the price, the cost of that money will go up a little bit. That's got the high-tech sector really spooked a little bit. And as you know, the high-tech sector has been massively volatile. You know, 300 points on the NASDAQ up one day and then 200 points down. And still, the mean line is up as it should be. But what we're seeing is these are companies very often are not yet profitable. And so they rely on borrowed money in order to finance the growth of their business because they're all about growth. When interest rates go up, that hurts them. And so what we're seeing today, I think, is more a reaction to the potential for higher interest rates than anything fundamental in the economy.
And, of course, there's the pipeline issue, and that's very troubling about that hack and that extortion.
Yes. The pipeline issue kind of feeds into the inflation issue, but it's also very alarming to find out that major parts of our infrastructure, privately supplied parts, not government-run parts, can be so vulnerable to foreign hackers.
It is scary that they are at risk. I mean, our infrastructure, that somebody can put out an extortion demand, and I'm sure we'll hear more about what went down with the oil company, but it's very troubling.
And the agency that was supposed to be the agency notified when this happened wasn't notified. They got notified through the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And because this company is, again, not a government contractor, they had no requirement to report. And so, you know, there are some things in our system that we just really do need to, you know, take a look at revising.
A couple of interesting reports on labor, one Friday and then today, that businesses just, in many cases, they just can't find the help they need right now. Whether it be restaurants or service industries, they are having trouble finding people.
There is no doubt about the fact that in the year or more since the pandemic, that people have shifted around.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of reasons why certain people are not looking for work right now. To a very great extent, the people who have been most affected by the pandemic are people who are most affected by the other things that are closing down. So when you have restaurants slowing down, when you have childcare unavailable, then the people who are filling those jobs, even if they want to take them, pretty much can't. And so
mom's taking care of the kids, taking care of the kids, and they're not working.
Right. And so the federal assistance that these people are getting through unemployment insurance and the federal backup to the unemployment insurance makes things easier for them. That's absolutely true. But what we need to do is make sure that there are proper incentives for these people to get back to work. Now, what's happening, because there seems to be a shortage of labor willing to fill these mostly low-income jobs, it's raising the salaries in these jobs. And so what you're seeing now is the incentive for employers to pay more. So rather than implement minimum wages, for instance, a $15 minimum wage.
It's a de facto.
It's happening
anyway.
And so it's good for the economy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely good for the economy.
Yeah.
Now, if this were to keep up month after month,
right,
it would be very troubling. But this is just one month. It is a downward blip After a couple of months of very good progress, we need to see what's happening over the next couple of months to see if there need to be some adjustments made. This should not be a political argument, and we're seeing it from the, you know, from the Republicans. And, oh, we had this horrible labor report, and it just goes to prove that we're paying too much into the economy, and therefore people won't work because they're lazy and sloppy. That's nonsense.
Let's go to the live line. Robert has a question for Shelley Fishman. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Bill. Shelley, just as a comment, that unemployment money the government keeps sending could very well be a large part of what little business restaurants are getting. But my question is this: how could a stock like AMC Movie Theaters be worth anything if they've been shut down for 2 years?
Okay, that's a great question. And I'm not going to talk directly to the AMC issue because, quite frankly, I avoid like heck all specific references to specific companies.
Sure.
But the question of how can a stock, or how can a company still have worth, even though their revenue stream has been cut back to nothing in some cases, is, number one, these companies are able to manage their expense streams when their revenue streams go down so that the actual losses on their balance sheets are certainly catastrophic, but also manageable. The second thing is, keep in mind that the worth of a company in the stock market is what investors believe that worth will be in the future. The stock market is always forward-looking. So assuming that a company like the one you mentioned has been able to survive for the last 16 or 17 months and still now be able to reopen in part or in full means that, number one, they have been able to survive it, and that the investors in those companies believe that their future is still positive. So that's, you know, essentially, remember, the stock market, though we like to say there's a formula for how stocks should be calculated, you can't use that formula in any one instance. You might be able to use it, you know, in an overall macro sense. But that's the way that these companies remain valuable. Another example, I'm giving you a long-winded answer, but it's a great question. We have so many companies that are startup companies or have just gotten into their first and second phases of growth that are not profitable at all, and still you see their stock just go through the roof. And you say, well, how can that be? They're not making a profit. And it's because the market has determined that in the future those companies are going to do very well.
All right, Shelley.
Thanks for the questions.
It was a good question. We've got a little bit of time to talk about that Paul Krugman interview that was in the New York Times. What's Krugman saying about the whiff of inflation in the air?
Okay, so Krugman, of course, is a Nobel Prize laureate. He is on social issues and on most political issues to the right of, much to the left of center, rather. On economic issues, he's right down the middle. He's a Keynesian, but he also is well versed in so-called modern monetary policy, and he scratches his head just like everybody else and wonders how much of the changes we've seen in economic performance during the last century and the first 20 years of this century, how much is this predictive of the future? So one of the things that Krugman has always said was that as we went into the Great Recession in 2009, the stimulus that we used to buy our way out of that recession was totally inadequate for the problems that we had. And so the $900 billion or so of stimulus that we put into the economy could not solve the problem. And so as a result, we had 8 years of very slow growth that was probably slower than it needed to be. Now, along with that slow growth came very low inflation. And a year-over-year improvement in the employment picture. What Krugman is saying is this is an opportunity to correct that mistake. And he's been beating that drum for a very, very long time. So in this article, and I encourage people to to go to either the Business Insider or, you know, wherever you would look up Krugman and see what this interview says in general. It's a long, wonkish kind of interview, but he really does talk about inflation and how inflation gets caused, what the different causes of inflation are, and how they can be mitigated by both monetary policy and by Fed interest rate policy. And so how his fear right now is that we won't do enough to stimulate the economy, not that we're doing too much.
All right. A week from today and then 2 weeks from today, I'll still be on vacation. You will be seated where I am currently seated. And you will have, what do you have on next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, we have James Real, who is, of course, the classical classical music director of KUA.
Yeah, my friend from KUAT, AZPM.
Right. And we're going to talk about music, and we're going to give some examples of composers and lyricists who have been motivated by solitude, motivated by the kind of loneliness that we've seen during this pandemic, and then how that reversed when they found ways to solve those problems. I'm looking for a really great show with James. Then 2 weeks from now, we have the mayor, the former mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, and we have Brinton Millward, the
University
professor,
of Arizona
exactly,
professor.
And they're going to do a roundtable with me on what is the role of a corporation in a community and what is the responsibility of corporations to the community and vice versa, the community to corporations.
Two outstanding programs a week from today and then 2 weeks from today. Thank you, Shelley. Good luck.
Have a great
Thanks.
Week.
Okay.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news.
You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back, Buckmaster, on a Tuesday afternoon in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, open right now. In fact, they're open daily. Beautiful 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. Green Things in their 51st year. And their companion business, Zocalo Village, all that beautiful Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts, all available at Zocalo Village. So the websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Former Nogales Mayor Marco Lopez has served as Chief of Staff for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He was first elected to the mayor position in Nogales when he was just 22 years old. Nogales is where he grew up. He left that job when then Governor Janet Napolitano appointed him in 2003 to head the Arizona-Mexico Commission. He later went on to be the director of the Arizona Commerce Department. Mr. Lopez, 42 years old, Democrat, now president of Intermestic Partners, and he is also the first candidate to enter next year's race for governor, which is expected to have quite a crowded field. No incumbent will be running, as Republican Governor Doug Ducey is required to leave office at the end of 2022 due to term limits. Democrat Marco Lopez with us now on the live line. Mr. Lopez, how are you, sir?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. You jumped in early. How is the campaign going so far?
2 months in, Bill. We're feeling great, building a lot of momentum statewide. And I think that that's what it takes for Arizona, is to really focus on all 15 counties and 22 tribes. And we're certainly doing that from day one.
You have a very impressive resume. Do you feel this, you've held a wide variety of positions, do you feel you are very suitable for the chief executive's job in the state of Arizona?
Yeah, look, I think that from the time I spent at the local level as mayor and then at the state level as director of commerce and then at the federal level, as you mentioned, Customs and Border Protection is the largest law enforcement and trade agency in the country, over 60,000 employees, a budget of $14 billion. And I think that has really given me the breadth of understanding, from the local, state, and federal perspective of what it takes to be a leader and an executive where that can make decisions. And that's certainly what we need now in Arizona as we look at a lot of what has hurt our economy and our people. It's been a lack of leadership and a lack of taking decisions that are in the best interest of our communities. So, yes.
You look at the state leadership right now. Have they failed us?
They've certainly failed us as we look at funding in education, as we look at the response to COVID-19, as we look at bringing people together to find health care opportunities for over 700,000 Arizonans that still don't have quality health care, Bill. So I think absolutely, there's no doubt that the state leadership has failed us, continues to fail us to this day. And this is why Arizonans that I speak to every single day are tired and are looking for this new leadership.
And you look at what's going on at the legislature with so much, they've been promoting what they call voter reform, but some would say they're really bizarre conspiracy theories.
Not only are they bizarre conspiracy series, they're designed to limit the ability for people like me, Latinos, minorities, rural residents, even seniors that depend on a vote-by-mail system and access to quick, easy voting. That's what it's designed to do, to limit, to dissuade people from voting, because they, I think they realize and they recognize that Arizona and Arizonans want to move forward. They want to find better opportunities for families, find better health care, find and invest in education. And that is what they simply have failed at providing Arizonans. So instead of taking a better path towards prosperity, they in turn would rather limit those people that can come out and vote.
You've had a, as I mentioned, you've got a very impressive resume, and you are very familiar with border issues. You have deep roots in Santa Cruz County. How does Marco Lopez, though, get the word out to the whole state? It's a difficult thing when you're from a smaller area like Santa Cruz County to kind of get the word out. I mean, you're doing a lot of social media, but what else do you have planned and what's going on?
Thank you. So, yeah, look, I think you and I probably had our first interview when I was 20 years ago, when I was in Nogales.
Yeah, and when I was doing Channel 6, Arizona
Channel
Illustrated,
6.
You came up and we did
with
a couple. We did a couple of interviews on Arizona Illustrated. You came up to Tucson. That's when I first met you. So
that's correct.
It's not like you got off the bus yesterday.
No. I think that's right. And look, to your specific question about how we engage and we get Arizonans excited about the future and about my candidacy, it's a lot of work to make sure that we are including all 15 counties, that it's not just a conversation in Maricopa or Pima, but that we include everyone and all 22 tribes, as I stated. I think that my experience as mayor, as director of commerce, and then as chief of staff, gives me the opportunity to talk about the lost potential that Arizona has as we look at recovering from COVID. It takes someone with my 9 years now in the private sector, creating jobs, developing opportunities in the private sector. It really does take that, Bill, to think about attracting better business, better investment to Arizona. And none of the folks that have been talked about or that are thinking about have that background in the private sector of job creators. I've got a unique background in that, and I think that's what Arizonans need to be able to succeed and see themselves succeeding and their families succeeding in an environment where we have quality education, quality healthcare that leads us to attract companies from outside that are looking post-COVID. Where do they want to have their workforce grow and expand to? Arizona today, unfortunately, is not at the top of their list because of our workforce, our lack of investment in our educational system and in our workforce capability. So that's the difference, Bill. But it's going to be everyone, every day, for the next 15 months, getting out there and advocating for a better Arizona. An Arizona that my family came to because they believed that no matter where you were or where you were from, you could succeed here. And we're losing that. That's getting harder and harder for Arizona families to think that they too can succeed and that their children are going to have the background and the foundation to be better than they have better opportunities than they've had. And so that's what we've got to restore, and that's why I'm running.
Democrat Marco Lopez, good to reconnect with you, Marco. Thank you very much. And where can people find out more about your campaign?
On the website, they can look me up at marcolopez.com or on Twitter. I'm at one Marco Lopez. And also on Facebook, one Marco Lopez is where they can find me. Thank you, Bill. And
it's
nice to reconnect with you.
Thank you very much. Democrat Marco Lopez with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Margaret Regan, the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, is next. And there's some interesting news about Hamilton is on for Tucson for this year. We'll talk about it after this.
Cool.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We have sent through the years so many of our friends over from the Tucson area. It's only about a three-hour drive to a very beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, which is open again for out-of-state visitors and lots to do over there. You can find out about the many activities available for you at southwestnewmexico.org, also the place where you will find out about places to stay. And there's some very nice places as well in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We go now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, Margaret Regan, author of two prize-winning books that she has done on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. That book came out in 2015, still available on Amazon, and The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands, again, still available. That book came out in 2010. What an impressive resume Margaret has. Actually, at one time, a reporter in Easton, Pennsylvania for the Express Times. Easton is and was the home of the heavyweight champion fighter Leon Spinks, who I saw defeat Muhammad Ali in 1978 as I was ringside for NBC Radio at the Las Vegas Hilton. You didn't know that probably, Margaret, did you?
I knew about the boxing stuff.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, Larry, what was his name, another guy?
Larry Holmes.
Larry Holmes, yeah, he was in Tucson, in Easton also.
Yeah. So Larry Holmes actually was also from Easton, Pennsylvania. That's very interesting. Two big time fighters. There must be something in the water in Easton. Yeah. Some big news today as Tucson's art scene begins to recover. You can mark Hamilton as a go for Tucson.
Yes, yes. How many times am I going to write this and then have to change the date? I mean, honestly, let me see. It's Hamilton, this time is coming to Tucson, November 17th through December 5th. I think this is at least the third date, if not the fourth. But fingers crossed, things do seem to be getting better now. And that's going to be the first show that Broadway in Tucson does this fall. So it gives us a little time. We don't have to worry, well, is September going to be okay? I mean, it's not happening till November. But as we know, it's one of the most successful shows in Broadway history, really. People love it. I can't wait to see it myself. So I'm hoping it'll be here.
And that's you kind of have an overview of what is how the reopening is going. That's going to be in next week's Tucson Weekly, and we have the Loft is kind of at reduced capacity but is open, and I guess the Fox, are they going to be doing some things again in September?
Yeah, I've got a lot of things written down for the Fox. You know, as I say, I'm just researching all this now, but. Well, they've been doing outside music for the last month or so, you know, I think in the evenings, you know, with local musicians. But it looks like in September they're going to start with the big famous acts coming in. I've got September 17th, Cheech and Chong. That's a big deal, right? Comedians. October 28th, Paula Poundstone, you know, great comedian. And this is another one I've been waiting for 2 years almost at this point. All Time, the Irish band, November 21st. I wrote about them last year because I wrote a story about they were all set to perform, and it was right when the pandemic hit, and they hurried back to Ireland. Everybody wanted to be home. Nobody wanted to be stuck in quarantine in a foreign land. So they took off. And then the poor Fox, you know, rebooked them two or three more times. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but several times. And now we have them booked for November 21st. So fingers crossed again that this will really happen. I'd love to see them. They're one of the best Irish bands.
So the Fox will be doing some outdoor things in September and then transition to indoors in October and November?
Yeah, well, they've been doing these sort of sidewalk shows of local musicians since April. I don't know how long it will go on, but I think that's a good way to say it. In September, it looks like they're going to be back inside. And I don't know, what do you think, Bill? Do you think people are going to be afraid to be in a theater again?
Well, yeah, I think at a limited kind of a reduced capacity, and I know that the theater can't mandate saying only people that have been vaccinated can come into the theater. But I think as more and more people do get vaccinated, I could see people being comfortable if you've been fully vaccinated. And some people would be comfortable wearing a mask throughout the performance. Yeah, I could see kind of this slow reentry. What do you think?
Well, I've been slow to go to anything. You know, I mean, I was thrilled to see that the Loft is open again. I'm a big fan of that place. But and I see, you know, the big theater down there has 370 seats. They're only going to use 75, so that does seem pretty safe. But I think I'm totally vaccinated, have been for 2 months, but I think I'm just going to wait a little bit longer to see how things are going. You know, we get so used to being safely in our homes. Maybe you're one of those people that's afraid to go out again. But I had some friends over the weekend, and we all stayed in the backyard and had a good time. And I like that idea of being outside.
Well, we'll be outside on vacation up in Alaska. We're leaving this weekend for a vacation, so kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel about the airlines?
Not a problem. We actually flew 3 times in 2020 because everybody I know is going to be wearing a mask. At least I hope they will. If they don't, they're going to have a big fine. But
let them on the plane without them.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to let, you have to wear the mask in the airport. And the filtering system, I have some friends. One of them is a contributor on our program from JetBlue, a captain, and he's told us on this program before about the ventilation system is hospital quality on airplanes. So I have no problem with that.
I read that too.
Let me see if we can work in real fast your current piece in the Tucson Weekly about the Museum of Contemporary Art, known as MoCA, here in Tucson. What are they doing right now?
Well, as always, it's a little tricky to explain what they're doing. But, there's this wonderful giant show by a Mexican, a woman from Mexico. Her name is Pia Camille, and she's made the most beautiful things out of thrown out T-shirts.
What?
And I know that sounds weird, but
reclaimed T-shirts.
Reclaimed T-shirts. They're brilliantly dyed, and they're sewn together into these giant tarps, which dangle from the ceiling, and they're tethered to ship rigging, and they, you know, shift and sail high above the gallery. So you go in there, and it's just this beautiful. The colors are gorgeous. You know that she has dyed these shirts. They were a lot of greens and reds, pinks, and then since she sews them together, they're like I said, they're like these giant sails above your head, and as so many t-shirts do, they have legends on them. You know, one of them was Happy St. Patrick's Day, and this and that. But it has this whole serious purpose. She's talking about consumer blight, you know, how many T-shirts do we all need? And I learned that it takes something like 700 gallons of water to make one T-shirt, in the sense that you're out there in the cotton fields with the water, you're in the factory, you're doing the dyeing. So it's kind of a critique about that, and it's also a critique about these kinds of things are made in Mexico. They're shipped to the United States, where people wear them for St. Patrick's Day, maybe 1 or 2 years, and they throw them out. And a lot of that waste goes back to Mexico. So it's sort of the life cycle of shirts. apart from the political thing, it's visually dazzling, and I would really recommend going. And anybody who's a little nervous like me, those great big doors they have, they're open during the day so that the air is coming in. And I've been there twice, I think, and there aren't that many people there. You can go by yourself and just enjoy looking at these beautiful things in the ceiling.
One thing I forgot about on your resume, you were also a French editor for TV Guide magazine. You don't talk to people like that every day.
That was my first job out of college.
Wow. You know,
who knew that I would get a job with my French major? And right there, well, I was living in Philadelphia, and that's where TV Guide had its national, their national office.
Yep.
And our job was to be editors for all the TV shows being sent in by reporters all around the country and, you know, help with the language. But they needed French because in Canada,
sure,
many shows are in French, and also up in Vermont and Maine. So we had to write those things in French. So that's how I got my first my first journalism job.
And you were right. When I saw Easton, Pennsylvania, I thought of Sphinx, but actually it is Larry Holmes, who is from Larry Holmes, the renowned boxer from Easton. Right. And Sphinx is actually from St. Louis. So a little bit of correction here on the Buckmaster Show. Want to keep the facts straight. All right, Margaret, thank you very much. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thanks. All right, coming up, we've got, of course, the show, very popular show, Dave Ramsey talking about money. That's going to do it for Bill Buckmaster this Tuesday afternoon. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing, we say have a great day, everybody.